All right, thank you for that introduction, Dr. Musser. Like you said, my name is Brittany Lipsy. I'm a PhD candidate at Mississippi State University under the direction of Dr. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore. And today I want to talk to you about our current thresholds in peanuts referring to defoliating caterpillar pest. So the past 10 years, honestly, our acreage has been growing slowly, but it has been increasing. And the past five, we have finally gotten from 30,000 to 40,000 acres of peanuts in Mississippi every summer. And when I'm talking about these peanuts, I want you to keep in mind that I am talking about the runner subspecies. That's what we grow in Mississippi. So when I talk about maturity dates later on, keep that in mind since it does vary between subspecies. A little bit about caterpillar pest in general in Mississippi peanuts. If there's a caterpillar pest that feeds in any crop, it also feeds in peanuts. We have every caterpillar pest you could think of that infest peanuts, such as the salt marsh, green clover worm, yellow-striped army worm, fall army worm, southern army worm, soybean looper, velvet bean, caterpillar bollworm, granulated cutworm, and I also have a couple such as the variegated cutworm and the black cutworm that we also have to sample for. I don't want to spend a lot of time looking at this, but I do want you to remember this when I'm talking about, when people talk about peanuts, we don't refer to it in growth stages like other crops. We refer to it in like days after emergence or days after planting. So I do want you to be familiar with the growth stage that I'm talking about when I'm talking about so-and-so days after emergence. And some of the main ones are highlighted in yellow over here. So the 30 days after emergence, that plant will be putting on its first blooms. I'll be talking about that stage. 40 days after emergence, or I have it as planting here, but it'll be beginning peg. And then your 80 days after emergence is your full seed, so that carpal wall is starting to shrink and get rid of some of the fluids, and the actual kernels are starting to fill out. And then you're going to have your, at 100 days after emergence, your beginning maturity, where that carpal wall is starting to dry out and shrink. The kernels are actually starting to lose some of their moisture content and shrink as well, and also that peg is starting to dry out and decreasing the amount of nutrients that that's taken into that carpal wall. So currently our threshold in Mississippi peanuts for any caterpillar pest, the whole complex, is 4 caterpillars per row foot in the early season and 8 caterpillars per row foot in the late season. We don't define what early season is, we don't define what late season is, and we also, this per row foot threshold is kind of cumbersome for farmers to use and consultants to use. It's hard to go out there and look at just a row foot of peanuts, and we usually use like the dowel rod of a drop cloth and just beat the plants on the ground, and then you find the worms that fell off. So it's not really easy to use, and so a lot of farmers don't use it. There's not it's not very easy to use. So we want to come up with some methods that we can evaluate peanuts and that we can easily go out there, see what's in our field, and maybe we will have better luck with farmers using these thresholds. So two of the thresholds that we would like to develop is a sweep net threshold and a defoliation threshold. So two of my objectives of my study was to determine the complex of foliar feed and caterpillar pest across all Mississippi peanut fields, as well as determine the yield losses associated with these caterpillar feedings and create thresholds for those two methods that I showed you previously. So the materials and methods, I have this kind of in two parts. The first part is going to be a survey that I did to find out what the complex was, what made up the complex. We had 14 locations and 2 fields at each location. And I'll show you in a minute all the locations so you can kind of get a geographical idea of what I'm talking about. And we split the state up into 4 regions, north, south, and east, and west. And I would go to the north and west 1 week and sample, and then the east and south 1 week and sample. And I would continue this regimen all summer. At each field, I performed 100 sweeps and 4 drops. And not only did I count just caterpillar pests, but any pests that I found, such as three-cornered alfalfa hoppers or potato leaf hoppers, I recorded those and kept up with those numbers as well. So this is the map that I was talking about, and in the colors you can see how the distribution is that we set up. And every county that's highlighted is a county that I sampled, or every county that is highlighted is a peanut-growing county in Mississippi. The ones that have asterisks are the actual counties that I sampled in. So the materials and methods for the part two, when we're trying to figure out how much yield loss is associated with defoliation, we had two locations, Starkville, Mississippi and Stoneville, Mississippi. The plot size, we had 10-foot plot, four-row 10-foot plots. They were single rows and not twin rows, and they were on 38-inch beds. We put out 80 larvae per plot for 3 days per week, so we did every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we did this for 5 weeks for each infestation timing. So that equals about four worms per row foot per day, so 12 worms per row foot per week for 5 weeks is what those plots were getting. And we infested at 40, 80, and 100 days after emergence. And each week I would go out and take a rating of how much defoliation had occurred in those plots. So the first part of the results, I know this is really busy, so I don't want you to focus on it. I'm going to zoom in a minute. But I do want you to notice that the solid lines are going to be the sweep net numbers, and then the dotted lines are going to be the drop numbers. So let me move on and let you be able to see this a little better. So the reason we did this is going to be the drops compared to the sweeps at each location. On the bottom, I'm going to have the date, and on the y-axis, I'm going to have how many caterpillars. And I would just want to point out that this is going to be for boll worms. So more boll worms were found using a sweep net rather than a drop cloth. And you would expect that because they're upper canopy foliage feeders. They're not on the ground. So we really want to look at that. And granulated cutworms, you got more using a drop cloth. You find more using a drop cloth than you do a sweep net. And you would expect that because those are going to feed at the soil level clipping the plants. So to me, that says that maybe when we're assessing out there, we're using that drop threshold, that maybe we aren't finding everything that we need to be. So for the boll worms, if you want to use a sweep net, we have this data, and there is a positive correlation, and all that means is that I can use regression analysis, and I can tell you if I do this many drops, what I find in that should compare to how many I should find in so many sweeps. So I can create a sweep net threshold that way. The results for the part two, the important part. This was some previous research done that basically I'm trying to validate. Mr. Chad Abbott had done this. It was a one-time defoliation event. So let me set this up right quick. On the bottom axis, you're going to have percent defoliation, and on the y-axis, you're going to have your pounds per acre. And he found that 40 days after emergence, a one-time 100% defoliation event, that he was only losing 4.5 pounds of peanuts per 1% of defoliation. So that was not significant. But what he did find is that 80 days after emergence, he was losing 13.6 pounds per 1% of defoliation. And we were a little worried with this being hand defoliating and not caterpillars out there feeding that maybe we were doing a little more damage to the plant, maybe pulling pegs out of the ground, and some unnecessary yield losses. So with my research, we went to actually put the worms out there and see if the damage correlated with his. So, again, the axes are going to be the same on this graph, and this is going to actually be the 30 days after emergence, 20 to 30 days. And I found that on this, you were losing 5.6 pounds per 1% of defoliation by putting those worms out there for 5 weeks. So those incremental defoliation events are leading up to some serious, significant defoliation and yield loss. So this is going to be pegging to pod fill, so it's going to be around your 80 days after emergence. And for every 1% of defoliation, we found that we were losing 15.3 pounds. In a minute, I'm going to sum that up and tell you dollar-wise what you're losing so you'll understand how big of a deal that is. All right, so here's a comparison of mine and Mr. Abbott's regressions. So like I said, early season, he was losing 4.15 pounds, which was not significant, whereas I found that we were losing 5.6 pounds. And then late season, again, he found 13.61 pounds loss per 1% of defoliation, whereas I found 15.3. So we actually found that the caterpillar pests were doing a little more damage than we actually were out there pulling leaves off. So those did correlate well with each other. So this is what I mean. I want to tell you what it means in basically farmer's terms. If you have a treatment cost, typically we spray Prevathon at 20 ounces for those caterpillar pests, which is going to be about $20 an acre for 20 ounces. And then last year, peanuts, a typical commodity price would be 20 cents per pound. So if you do the math on that, early season at the 5.6 pounds loss that I was looking at, per acre, you're losing about $1.13 per 1% of defoliation. So that defoliation and damage level reaches the cost treatment or the cost of the treatment at 17.7% early season. So that's where we're thinking that our economic threshold or injury level needs to be at. And then late season, when you're losing the 15.3 pounds per 1% of defoliation, that's going to give you a loss of $3.6 per acre per 1% of defoliation. So when you calculate that out, the economic injury level would be about 6.5% defoliation. So that's a small amount of defoliation that a lot of farmers in Mississippi just let go because it's hard for them to see that. So in conclusion, by correlating the drops to the sweeps, we can make a sweep net threshold for ease of use for our farmers, and maybe there will be more farmers that will actually go out in their field and sample instead of just saying they see worms out there and go spray. And then we did find out that small amounts of defoliation later in the season does result in a significant decrease in yield. So we feel like a defoliation threshold would be beneficial for people to be out there and go and just see what they have instead of just hoping that they're spraying on threshold. And in conclusion, just an overall conclusion, with the current level of uncertainties in agriculture these days due to like regulatory constraints, limited pesticide availability, input costs on peanuts with the fungicides, and the low commodity pricing, refining our action thresholds will improve our Mississippi's decision processing for our growers, and it'll be critical to ensure long-term sustainability of our peanut farmers. So with that, I would like to thank my major professors, Dr. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore, and all the extension associates and lab technicians. And with that, I would like to take any questions. Yes, sir.
I have a question, and maybe I missed it, but what alarming
Okay, so I actually left that out. This year we used fall armyworms. We've tried several different ways to infest, and honestly, we've had a hard time getting the caterpillars to eat the plants. I don't know, they grow so fast that you cannot get enough caterpillars out there to eat the plants. So we used fall armyworms.
Second thing, when you ran your regressions, you did the defoliation by yield?
Percent defoliation by yield. So when I went and took the ratings every week, I'll go to this one. You'll see that I only have 10 and 20 and 50% defoliation. I would go out there every week and take a percentage rating of how much defoliation had happened that week. And for 5 or 6 weeks, however long we infested, I would compound those to equal the percent defoliation that you see here. So those plots that were supposed to have 50% defoliation, maybe those only got to 25%, but I would take those incremental defoliation ratings and add those up, and that would be the percent defoliation that they are, if that makes sense.
It makes sense, but it looks like you should have continuous rather than discrete things.
That'll be fine. Yes, sir.
I'm a grower, what are you recommending to me? I got these two techniques.
So honestly, for a consultant, I would recommend if you want to do the drops to make sure or look at your cut, like granulated cutworms. If you know you're going to have cutworms, if you usually have cutworms, use drop. But if you're looking for foliage feeding insects, all those, I would use a sweep net. If you know you have insects or caterpillars out there and you're just checking back by your field, seeing how much defoliation you would have, I would use a straight defoliation if you were just coming back by that week to make sure that you weren't apt for a spray or something. So, and I also feel like, I don't know, I would have to look into this, but the defoliation could turn into maybe, you know, herbicides and peanuts a lot of times defoliate. A lot of diseases cause defoliation. So I don't know in later years if those defoliation thresholds could help with this is how much you may lose if you have this kind of defoliation. So.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.